The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
We are in some difficult, challenging days, to say the least. A few years ago, we got introduced to a new term called fake news. And that's nothing new. We just kind of got a new title on it. But fake news has been around for since man's been around. Man has been twisting and perverting and fudging on what is actually true and not true. And that, unfortunately, seeps over into the church. False teaching has been around forever. You can read in Scripture in those early days of the early church. There were those who were already propagating false teaching. So that is not anything that just popped up in our lifetimes. It has always been here, will always be with us. Even our Lord warned us, with you always you'll have false teachers, false antichrists, those who claim to be followers of me, claim to be what they are not, but yet we need to be warned about them. Are you able to detect a false teacher, whether it be in the church or anywhere else? You may say, oh, absolutely, Brother Lane, I know what false teaching is when I hear it. Let me ask you another question. Do your kids or your grandkids know how to do that? They may not. And if you are old enough to have grandkids or great-grandkids, you ought to be concerned about what they're hearing or what they ought to be hearing but are not hearing. A lot of people in this world are propagating ideas about doctrine that are totally untrue, and there's more of that today than ever before. Scripture says that will be happening. God's people, the church, should know what they believe and what they do not believe and what is false and what is true. Now, when Paul wrote a letter, as he wrote several letters, to many of the early churches, one of those was to the church at Colossae, and that's where we're going to spend a part of our time. The second chapter of Colossians, he wrote to combat a heresy that was going on, that Christ was not deity. And that's nothing new. That is still going on today. There are false teachers that will say that the Lord Jesus Christ was a prophet, he was a good man, he was a teacher, but he wasn't really God. That is a lie, and you know that's a lie. He was, and in fact, is God. He was the second person of the Trinity. But Paul wrote the book of Colossians to defend the truth of the gospel. And this passage deals with this issue of false teaching. And today we still have to deal with it just as he did. People today will walk into any town, any church, any denomination, and some preacher gets up and says something and they never question it. Well, I assume because he's got a title, he's got some alphabet letters before or after his name, he must be telling the truth. Not necessarily so. Not today. Or better yet, you go home and turn on so-called Christian TV, and you got to be careful of that too. And anything you hear may not necessarily, because they've got a TV program and a slick TV studio, does not necessarily mean that they're telling the truth. Look with me in chapter 2. Let's read together the first 10 verses. And I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the ability of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now been built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Here it comes. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That was right there, him combating this heresy that Christ was actually not God in verse 9. Verse 10, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Now, what does that bring us to? When you think about false teachers, that reminds me of what Paul also said in his second letter to the church at Corinth that had all kinds of problems as well. He was challenging them about what all was going on in that day, primarily this approach of false teaching. And it didn't take long in the early church. Now, remember, a lot of these people came out of paganism. They came out of all kinds of false teaching, false religions, and they, some cases, brought that into their walk with Christ, and they didn't leave it all behind. And so, therefore, you've got this muddled process, and we see that they were all primarily looking for one thing, and that was to deceive those that were in Christ. So let me give you this morning some characteristics of false teachers, so you can be on the lookout. Number one, false teachers are always deceivers. They're always deceivers. If somebody deceives you, they've lied to you. For most of us, we want to trust people. We want to think the best of our preachers. We want to think the best of people. And because of that, many times those in the church can be easily deceived because we are by nature trusting people. Now, whether it's making a purchase at a store by an overly zealous salesperson who may be stretching a little bit about what this product will do, but if we really, really, really want to buy it, we kind of don't pay attention to that. And because he may not be exactly telling us the truth. And oh my goodness, need we look any further than the next coming election cycle at the politicians who will make you all kinds of promises just to receive your vote and have no ability to deliver on any of those promises whatsoever. No way can they do all of that. And then hoping you will forget about it before you vote for them. And then, of course, sadly, there are men who handle this book in a deceitful manner, always have been. They have a new twist on Scripture, and they will slowly, carefully weave their own unique doctrine that God has given just to them or just to this church or just to this denomination. And if you don't believe that, well, you're probably not really saved. That's even happened right here in this association, sadly, that I've had to deal with. Deception is a sin. Let's look at a few of the passages that deal with this. Hold your place there in Colossians. Dial back to the Gospels for just a moment. Matthew gets in on this. Now, in Matthew 24, you will recognize this passage as primarily being a passage that deals with end times and things about the future. But I want you to look at verse 11 with me of chapter 24, and you see our Lord dealing with this. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. That's the words of our Lord. Many people are going to be led astray by things that they hear. Still in the gospel, just one over from there, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Our Lord again speaking. And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many." There'll be those, Jesus says, that are going to come claiming to be what he is, but they'll be lying. Now, suppose somebody comes up to you, or they walk in Morningsport Baptist Church, and they say, "I am the Messiah." You'd say, "Oh, man, get out of here. You're crazy as you can be. You must be on drugs or something. Get out of this church." We'd do that and wouldn't think twice about it because we know who the Messiah is. But suppose you had someone who had never, ever, ever set foot in a church and had never, ever, ever read this book. And somebody walks in and says, "I'm the Messiah." They might say, "Oh, really? Pleasure to meet you. Tell me a little bit about yourself." Now, that's a foreign concept to us because we know the truth of the Word of God. But we're dealing with, I hope you know this, a biblically illiterate culture today who have absolutely zero idea what this book says, much less what the teaching of God's church is. And so when you see people come in and making all these wild claims about all kinds of things and people believe it, you're scratching your head going, how do they do that? They're just biblically illiterate. They don't know any different. Second characteristic of false teachers is they will build cults. Not only will they be deceivers, but they will build cults. There is usually a certain type of person that falls for these kinds of lies and deception. That is exactly what's happening all around us. And don't think these folks just live in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or the big cities. It can happen anywhere. They're prime candidates right here in this area. And when a man or woman stands up and says, well, Lane, I just want you to know that God's told me, fill in the blank, my antenna goes up. Because I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. God's told you something he's not told anybody else. Is that what you're telling me? Well, he may be saying that I've just read something in Scripture and God illuminated a spiritual truth. Okay, well, that's another story, but say it like that. Don't say God's told me as if God's not talking to anybody else but just you. I get real nervous about that. But that's what folks will do today. Those are buzzwords for me. There's an air of elitism. God communicates only to me and no one else, and I've got to tell you then what God's told me, or especially when somebody comes up, is God's given me a special word just for you, Lane, as if God's not going to tell me that, but he's got to tell you to tell me. Now, we all know God speaks to us in any number of ways, usually through his word, through circumstances, or through other people. Guys, we call those wives. And sometimes that's kind of what has to happen. Sometimes we are told what to do, and sometimes the Lord can use that. And we know that a dear brother or sister who loves us and cares about us can come up to us and say, I just want you to know, I think this would be wise for you in your life. And if we know that person and trust that person, we receive that with open arms. But sometimes somebody may not always have our best interest at heart, but they want to tell you that God's told me to tell you X, Y, or Z. Now, Ephesians 2:20, you know this passage well. God's household is built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. Notice the key word, the foundation of the church was built upon the apostles and the prophets. There's people today running all around saying, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm prophet so-and-so. You are a liar. The Word of God says the foundation was built upon them. When you build a structure, after you lay the foundation, you then put the structure on top of the foundation. You don't keep laying more and more and more foundation. But people are out there all day saying, I'm bishop so-and-so, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm prophet so. I can't find that in Scripture. So again, I ask you the question, are you equipped today to identify truth or error? Or what about your children? Do they know truth from error? What about when that grandchild goes off to college? Are they going to be able to identify truth and error? We're about to send another crop of graduating seniors off to college next month. And I'll talk to some of them and I'll say, well, do you know what you want to do? No, I'm just going to go. I'm going to figure it out when I get there. Well, I'd rather your church, your pastor, some godly men and women around you help you figure out what you want to do than some lost college professor tell you what you ought to do. Because they will do that. And they're not going to have a Christian worldview. They're not going to have a biblical worldview. They're going to come at it from a whole different direction. And they'd better be equipped to know truth from error. This is a day that discerning truth from error is very, very important. And by the way, these people who are false teachers, they can be very charismatic, very persuasive, very enlightening. Do you realize that many people in the world actually today would love for somebody to tell them what to do with their life? Don't think there's not a market for that out there. People want folks to make decisions for them, either but due to, I have looked in my past and I'm looking at my life and I've made so many poor, ridiculously bad decisions that I don't trust myself any longer to make those decisions. So if you can tell me how to make those decisions, I'm all ears. Where do you think this cradle to the grave mentality comes from? You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to lift a finger. We'll make all your decisions for you. You just do what we tell you to do. And everybody goes, whew. Thank goodness somebody's here to tell me what to do, because look at my past. Look at the mess I've made in my life. Finally, somebody's going to tell me what to do. And these people are ripe for the picking. I found this just the other day with all of what we have been dealing with over the last year and a half. This from Penn State University talking about depression that people are dealing with. Major depression has surged in the U.S., shouldn't be a surprise, especially among young people. According to the report, based on the medical and survey information, listen to this. This came from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now, of all of their folk who are policyholders, 41 million people covered by Blue Cross in consultation, the report said online activities such as social media, video games, and texting and the isolation has resulted in contributing to this depression. It found that diagnoses of major depression increased 33% by those who are 18 to 34 and 47% in younger than that. Shouldn't be surprising. Shouldn't be surprising. You take that mindset and you move it over into the spiritual realm, these people are ready to be deceived. God's told me what you're to do. Oh, yes, sir. I'll absolutely do that. Indoctrination, as if everything's from God. Then they'll also demand obedience to them. Make all kind of promises to the people about what God's going to do for them in heaven. All the while going on, this false teacher is telling them things like, you know, those old friends you've got, you don't need those folks anymore. We're your real friends. Those people you've been hanging out with, they're holding you back from really being enlightened and understanding what you need to know. In fact, won't you just move in with some of our folks and leave those other people in the past, and we'll provide for you. We'll meet your needs, and anybody in their right mind would know better than to do that. But these folks are not in their right mind because they have been so beaten up with past decisions. Somebody comes along and says, "We'll handle all this." Whew. Thank goodness. And sadly, many times even physical ploys are used against them, primarily on women. Or perhaps, lest we look any further than over the last literally 20 years of all the abuse that's gone on in the Catholic Church with young boys, a physical hold against them that don't you say anything because I've got this hook now physically on you. And on it goes, and it's all wrapped up in one word, and it's called deception, leading people to believe in error. Not every false teacher will, of course, start a cult, but the third characteristic is, sadly, some false teachers will start churches. Big, small, big churches, small churches, rural churches, city churches, men or women, people who believe part of the Word of God, but not all of the Word of God. They pick and choose what they want to believe. It's easy for this to happen to an existing church. I've watched it happen to churches. Somebody comes in. Now, I will tell you right now, Satan will never come pound on the front door and identify who he is and say, "May I come in, Morrisport Baptist Church?" You're not letting them in. But if they come in, they look like the real deal, talk like the real deal, act like the real deal, "Oh, we're so glad to have you. Come right on in." And then they come in and they start to begin to do this and serve over here and get in over here. And little do you know, they're inside before you know it. Good people, very trusting people, but doctrinally don't know what to ask. And they may be sitting ducks for something like that. Whether it's in the nursery or the youth group or the pulpit, we've got to know what to ask. Committees, search committees today had better know what kinds of questions. I deal with search committees literally every day somewhere in this association. And it is harder today to find the right person for your church than ever before. I know it's been a while, but do not think you're odd. That's normal today, unfortunately. There's so many questions you've got to ask today, so many things you've got to look at today. I was talking to someone the other day, we were talking about how church has changed, and if you're old enough, or especially older than I am, you know church has changed. I can remember back in the 70s when I was in high school, mom and dad, we'd load up the car, we'd go on vacation, and we'd maybe go several states away, and we could take our quarterly from what we had studied last Sunday in Sunday school and go to Georgia and visit a Southern Baptist church in Georgia and walk in that church the following Sunday, and they would be studying the exact same lesson we had studied right before, and we would pick up right where they were and never miss a beat. We were singing the same songs. We were preaching the same kind of sermons. Everything was all interchangeable parts. That day's gone. Just because it says Baptist Church on the sign out front, that don't mean anything today. I deal with 118 churches in Caddo and Bossier Parish, and ain't no two of them alike. Now, some would say, well, that's a good thing, Because, boy, you talk about a menu option. You get to look down and pick and choose what you want to do. Well, I guess you can make a point of that. But it's hard to have a church culture that we connect with when everybody's doing their own thing. It's almost like we've got 118 independent Southern Baptist churches who just decide to corporately partner together for ministry and missions. And that may be true. But it's just tough today. And I said all that to say, as you seek your next pastor, make sure you peel the layers back and say, have we done our homework? Is this God's man for us? Not only building those false teachers, but as we know, they're deceivers. Look with me real quick over in Galatians, close by Colossians where you were. False teaching, of course, can destroy a church faster than anything. In Paul's writing to the churches at Galatia, look at chapter 3, I believe it is. Yes, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? You are so foolish. Have begun by the Spirit. You're now being perfected by the flesh. Paul's basically saying, look, you know how you got saved. The Spirit was born again in you. You didn't do anything by the flesh. The churches at Galatia, this will date you, could have done their own TV show on Bewitched. They'd been fooled. They'd been duped. They were getting false teaching that really the flesh was doing all this, not the Spirit. Somebody comes along and says, oh, Lane, that's just your opinion. And you say in return, well, I can respect your opinion of whatever you may have, but God's word says this. This is your anchor. This is what you hold to. It has to be an authority. The preacher is not the authority. This book is the authority. Number four, not only is a deceiver, builds cults, build churches, but they also start churches. Here's how they do it. They get wind of a little disgruntled group over here in this part of the church, this part of the church, another part of the church, and that group is like bait to them. They come to, hey, you know, you're right. I heard what you said about so-and-so in the church, and you're exactly right. In fact, we're having a little Bible study over at my house this Friday night. Won't you come and bring some friends? Or these folks are confused about something in the church. They may not even be saved. They may be prime candidates for that. And then they begin to break away and get their own little groups going, and they begin to build a little following. I've watched it sadly happen in church after church after church. Somebody comes along, well, says, Lane, you know, we don't want all this doctrine. We just want to come and worship God. I just want to come to church, meet my friends, and have an enjoyable time. Let me ask you this. What's the foundation of your belief system? Is it fellowship? Is it to meet your friends? Is it to worship? What's the foundation of your worship? It's got to be based on the truth of the Word of God, or it's a false worship. The foundation of our belief system is the doctrinal truths of the Bible that are the foundation of everything we believe, starting with the deity of Christ, that who died for our sins was, in fact, God. Every preacher is responsible for explaining and exhorting the Word of God so that people will hear the truth. Having heard the truth, will then be able to apply it to their life, that they can be led and guided through life. That preacher is to prepare them that they will make an impact into other people's lives. So those are the characteristics of false teachers. Before we finish up this morning, let me just give you a couple of dangers of this false teacher. The deception, that person's purpose is not, of course, ever to lead you into really growing in Christ. That false teacher will obviously create division, likes to pit one against the other. We see that happening all over in our culture and society today. Also, false teachers can destroy people's lives. It's left wrecked and ruined lives on the sides of the road, so to speak. False teaching is dangerous, divisive, destructive. That's why we need to be able to identify it. So how do we do it? As we finish up, how do we protect ourselves? How do we as Morgansport Baptist Church guard against any false teaching we may hear? Titus 1:9 says we are to hold fast to God's faithful word. Don't let anything come between you and this book. It is the most important thing you and I have in this world. Take this book away and what do you have? No assurance in tough times. No hope for the future. No foundation for your life. You're just floating through life whichever way the winds of times take you. This book is under assault today by those who hate every word. Do not forget that. This book is under assault today. Those who hate Morgansport Baptist Church, they hate you, they hate the culture, they hate the God that you represent. They may not say that to your face. They may not even attempt to allude to that, but they do, because Scripture tells us that they do. All kinds of groups out there, ACLU, the People for the American Way, the People for Separation of Church and State, who wouldn't even allow a senior in a prayer during graduation time mention the word Jesus out loud because it so grated against them they couldn't stand it. People for the American Way. What a ridiculous statement of an organization. What a title for a Christ-hating, God-hating, Bible-hating organization, People for the American Way. This book was the American Way when this country was founded. Study the Word of God under a trustworthy teacher, somebody who unquestionably believes the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And then finally, learn to refute false doctrine. Let me tell you something very simple you can do. When someone says, "Well, you know, Lane, I don't believe that." Well, that's your opinion. And you say to them, "The reason I believe it is because it's the Word of God." And they say, "Well, I don't believe all the Bible's true." Well, would you mind showing me what's not true in here? Well, they can't do that. See, they're just parroting what they've heard somebody else say. I just want a preacher that doesn't mess around with all this doctrine. He don't need to talk about sin all the time. That's depressing. I want a preacher that just makes me feel better. I'd rather have a preacher that got me a little depressed over my sin than a preacher that didn't talk about sin and I went to a Christless eternity. From surveys, fewer and fewer preachers today, unfortunately, believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, the infallibility of Scripture, or want to discuss sin at all from the pulpit. I'm talking about some high-profile preachers who were on TV. Will not talk about sin. Will not ever address that from the pulpit. One of them has a great big smile and lives in Houston. I'll let you figure it out from there. Be on guard against false doctrine. Just two other passages of Scripture and I'm finished. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know this passage, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Somebody comes to your house, you need to be prepared to make a defense. Now, one more passage that John has tucked away in his second epistle. It's only 13 verses long. Let me read these last couple of verses of this to you. This is 2 John verse 7 and following. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers, that's what we're talking about, have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. Somebody knocks on your door. You have no biblical obligation to let them in your house. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not talking about you being rude and crude and unkind and slam a door in their face, but you have no obligation to invite them into your house. They're coming into your home to deceive you. You can, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, make a defense for the gospel. You can tell them what you believe, why you believe it, and how you believe it based on the Word of God and what Christ has done in your life. Say, well, I'm not going to let you in, but I'll be happy to come out here on the doorstep and we can sit here and sit out here on the swing and I'll gladly tell you what God's done in my life. That usually sends them on down the road because now they can't control the conversation. And by the way, men, that's your responsibility to guard your home against false teaching. That's a responsibility that God has given to you men to do that. As Mooringsport Baptist Church continues to move forward, and I believe you're going to have some great days ahead, realize that there are false teachers out there. There are those who do not wish this church well. They may not outwardly ever say that. You may never know that. But there are those who do not adhere to and agree with what you believe of the Word of God. And they would like nothing more than to see this church flounder and fade away and be irrelevant in this community. And that's true in city after city after town. Stand strong for the Word of God. Push back when you need to and make a defense for the gospel. Let's pray. Father, forgive us where we have been a little negligent and gotten a little lazy in this area. Father, we trust that we will stand strong when that day comes. It may not be fashionable in the future to say, I go to Mooringsport Baptist Church. There may be some ridicule and criticism of that. But Father, may this church always be a beacon of truth and guard that truth and protect that truth and stand strong for that truth. I pray for the future man of God that will stand behind this pulpit to proclaim that word, that you would protect him, guard him, hide him behind the cross. And Father, I pray for each person in this room that their walk with you would be stronger and stronger with each passing day. For that person that may be here, may not truly understand, may not have a growing, abiding relationship with you, Father, may they find that only through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death at Calvary for us. Father, may they put their faith and their trust in you and you alone. And Father, for those that are here that are walking with you, may they find favor with you. May they grow in grace and knowledge. And Father, we commit them to you. We ask your blessings on us. And all God's people said, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.